Welcome to Mind Your Biz Today on South Florida's only all-business radio station, 880 AM. Today's business world is fast-paced and ever-changing. Gain a competitive advantage by listening to Mind Your Biz Today, hosted by Janie Smith, CEO of Smart Advantage. Janie is a best-selling author and business consultant extraordinaire with over 35,000 hours consulting C-suite executives. She will help you navigate today's business hurdles and maximize your opportunities with thought-provoking discussions with CEOs, business authors, and thought leaders. Learn the latest trends and profit-producing ideas for growing your business.
Brought to you by the Hudson Institute of Executive Education at Nova Southeastern University. Executive training programs to excel in today's competitive market.
Here's your host, Janie Smith.
Welcome back, South Florida, to Mind Your Biz Today. We're glad to have you with us because we have a very exciting show today. We have with us Raul Apupo, who is an entrepreneur, author, speaker, and consultant in the information technology industry. But he's not going to be talking so much about IT as he is about a very interesting topic called, in his new book, called America's Service Meltdown, Restoring Service Excellence in the Age of the Customer. Before we get to Raul, I'd like to just remind our listeners to go to our website, mindyourbiztoday.com, and share with us any ideas or questions you may have, and especially themes that you would like us to do a show on. What are you struggling with in your business today? And also, you may visit our website, smartadvantage.com, and learn more about creating competitive advantage in your own companies. So with that, I would like to welcome Raul with us today because he and I have just had a lovely conversation before the show, and this is a subject near and dear to my heart. For those listeners who have been tuned in, you know that my book is called Creating Competitive Advantage, and what Raul talks about is all about having a competitive advantage in service. And that's an easy thing to do since there's not a lot of competition. We were talking about how few companies and few workers really get their arms around this. I know from my experience when we go into an organization, we'll say, what's your competitive advantage? And countless companies say customer service. And I say, really, what does that entail? And it's amazing the answers I get. They don't even know what entails customer service. They don't understand all the various touch points. And really don't know what the customer wants relative to that. So I want to tell you a little bit more about Raul. I mentioned he's the CEO of Technology Infrastructure Solutions. It's a company known for service practices in the fields of systems integration to Fortune 1000 clients. His business experience spans over 30 years, founding and operating companies in the field of IT, and he's served as adjunct professor in management information systems, a reviewer for peer-reviewed journals, and a board member advising IT institutes on several universities. He has a BBA in industrial management and MBA on information systems. Again, his book is a little born there, but moved into other kinds of businesses. And we're going to talk to Raul. Welcome with us today, Raul.
Delighted to be here.
And again, I want to mention his book is called America's Service Meltdown, Restoring Service Excellence in the Age of the Customer. You're going to want to get this book after this interview, I'm sure. So, Raul, tell us, why did you decide to write this book?
Janie, I've been in service businesses nearly four decades, computer services specifically. And I think it's fair to say that I have never seen service to the customer in a more calamitous state than it is in today. And as a result, I was motivated to want to deliver what I think is an urgent message for the nation.
Yeah, so as we're slipping in so many categories, education and countless other ones in this country, now we have to be worried about service. And if we don't get our arms around this, we're falling farther and farther behind. So who's the intended audience for your book?
The intended audience for the book are corporate leaders of all ranks in large companies and small, who are in the best position to influence the customer direction of their businesses.
And you're not just talking about businesses that sell to consumer. You're also talking about businesses that sell to other businesses. I read an interesting thing in your book that says some staggering number, I forgot what the percentage is, you can help me out there, change vendors, because the vendors in B2B purchases are not even getting it, what their customers want.
Consulting giant Accenture has just conducted a customer satisfaction survey. And their survey discloses that 60% of all customers change suppliers for reasons having to do with poor service.
And how do they define poor service?
Well, poor service are any number of manifestations that force the customer to vote with his feet. And so it could be something as trivial as not helping the customer when he has a question about something that might have transpired on his account, to issues of quality, of pricing, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I keep using the example of Hyundai. I love this new CEO. He talks to the customers, five or six of them each week, and he will take any call. And that's the CEO of a very big company. They're trying to move this brand way up, and they're doing a magnificent job because that CEO gets it. So what is the central premise of America's Service Meltdown, your book?
The central premise, Janie, is that businesses, whether they're technology businesses or not, startup businesses or large companies, can all operate more effectively, that is to say more profitably, if they will heed the four critical success factors. So let me name them. Number one, it's a leadership group that unequivocally believes that they are in business to serve a customer. You should know that in survey after survey, leaders are conflicted about really what their leadership role is. The second factor is that the business planning process in the corporation must begin, not end, must begin with a customer. I know you are a big proponent of market research, but market research has to drive strategy, not the other way around. And I believe practically every business in our country has those two in reverse.
Hear, hear. That's what I'm preaching, just like you, all over the country. And it's staggering, the number, as I go around saying something like 90% of small, medium-sized businesses are not even asking their customers. And that in the big companies, they spend millions of dollars. There's just not connecting the dots. And when I ask audiences, how do we know customer service is dead in America? It's because we're all customers, and we experience it day in and day out.
The third critical success factor is, and this has proved to be the most elusive of the four, is an ethic of service. An ethic of service begins when the business states, again, that customers are first. And then buttresses that belief with all of the enunciations, whether they be policies, procedures, et cetera, that do not subvert the mission.
Absolutely. We see this all the time. And, you know, as a frequent flyer, I mean, all of the airlines say they're customer focused, and boy, they're not. And their employees say, well, we're not allowed to do that. I'm not allowed to help you put your bag in the overhead or whatever. I mean, whatever it is. I mean, I can understand that. That causes backaches. But there are lots of things where we see this all the time. So can you give us some other examples?
Well, and the fourth critical success factor is that the organization must have an empowered, motivated, educated, competent roster of frontline workers with the tools and with the information needed to render excellence in service. Now, in my experience in the four decades that I've been in business, nearly every example of lousy service or other service mishap, you can trace right back to one of these critical success factors. All the more reason why I believe the organization needs to get the four right.
Yeah, and I want to go back to the first one you said about leadership has to have the focus on the customer. And what I find over and over again, and again, I've got 35,000 hours of one-to-one time with companies, is that most organizations are too internally focused. And I think that internal focus is the root of what you're talking about here. We're looking inside. We're dealing with politics and employee issues. We don't look enough at either the customer or the competition. So why do you think service fails to rank higher on the list of corporate priorities? Why aren't we making it a higher priority?
Well, it gets back to a leadership group, Janie, that believes that they are in business to do something other than to serve the customer. So, you know, they're in business to take their company public. They're in business to grow market share. They're in business to return extraordinary profits to their shareholders. But if you ask the question, why does that happen? Well, the reality is that CEOs in our nation don't get bonus for how well they serve the customer.
Shareholder return.
they get bonus for bottom line results.
Right, and I've seen that happen again and again. I've seen I watch the airlines closely because that was the first half of my career. And when they start getting focused on shareholder return, the customers suffer again and again. So can you give me an example of one that you might have talked about in your book on that?
An example of how an organization loses its bearings? Well, there's many examples cited in the book. The most egregious is Wachovia Bank.
Yeah.
Wachovia Bank is an organization. When finally it was sold for pennies on a dollar, and the reason is, Janie, that not once in all of the time that they were beating up on the customer, bilking their accounts, selling products that they didn't ask for. In all of that time, not once did an executive at Wachovia Bank raise his or her hand to say, "Is this right? Or should we be doing this?" Can you imagine? You imagine a customer coming to Wachovia to say, "I'd like a mortgage where if I pay the least amount possible, my principal will be higher next month than this month."
Yeah.
No one raised their hand at the bank to help the
customer. I'm sure we've got a lot of companies we can point the finger at. So we're going to need to wrap up this first half of the interview, and then we'll be back with some more questions. This is so impressive to me that your book is on target, and it's just so needed in this country today. I got to tell you, I did a seminar a couple of months ago, and you're going to love this role. One of the gentlemen who is a business owner in the audience with his key executive said, "We've got a problem. We hate our customers. We hate our customers." He said it. It staggers me because half the time we feel that way. When we go anywhere retail or we're on the phone with somebody, they all act like they hate customers. And that's the root of, I think, your book.
That's correct.
That is the service meltdown. So we're going to go to our sponsor, and then we'll be back with some more fascinating information from America's Service Meltdown. Raul, I have 10 seconds. Give us your website.
It's Raul Pupo, one word, RAULPUPO.com.
Okay, and please visit his website. He's got some videos there. And thank you, South Florida, for being with Mind Your Biz today. We'll be back in just a minute. Stay tuned.
We'll be right back with Mind Your Biz Today and Janie Smith after this word from our sponsors.
Searching for executive training programs to help your company's growth? 90% of South Florida's major corporations have sent their executives to training at Nova Southeastern University's Hudson Institute of Executive Education. With workshops ranging from sales to Six Sigma and from management development to mergers and acquisitions, your executives will gain the skills necessary to immediately impact your bottom line. To customize your organization's training, visit nova.edu/execed.
Here is Janie Smith with Mind Your Biz Today.
South Florida, welcome back. We're interviewing Raul Pupo on his book, America's Service Meltdown, Restoring Service Excellence in the Age of the Customer, something this country needs as we get more and more global competition and as we get more and more, crippled by our national debt and everything else that's going on that we're all worried about and anxious about, lacking consumer confidence in retail. Besides lacking confidence in where we're going, half of us don't even want to go shopping anymore because of the service meltdown. We know it's going to be a battle. So, Raul, thanks for being with us today. I have a few more questions for you. Is there a way that an organization can quantify the cost of poor service? I mean, this is everything we're talking about here, from the dry cleaner to the Fortune 500 company.
Yes, indeed. If Accenture's survey results are anywhere near correct, that is that 60% of customers walk for reasons having to do poor service, well, then do the math yourself. Let's say a company has a marketing spend of, say, $1 million. So how much of that $1 million goes to replace the customer if they have, say, a 20% attrition? Well, it's $200,000. Well, of the $200,000, Accenture would say, well, approximately $120,000, or 12% of your marketing spend, is going to replace your customers that have bolted. And that's the nominal cost. And I say nominal because it doesn't include the management time, the management cost, credits issued to aggrieved customers, et cetera, that are incremental to the $120,000. Never mind that the reputational damage that's
right.
done to the business by those aggrieved customers
right.
that will never, ever recommend your business,
right.
those costs are not in this calculation.
So you get you're not focused on customer retention. You're focused on constantly on new customers. And if you focus on customer retention, it's much more economical, much more profitable for the organization to keep the customers you have. Yet, I always say to my clients, your customers are prey to the competition every single day. They're knocking on your customer's door. How do you know you're keeping them happy?
The conventional wisdom in marketing today, the orthodoxy, and it starts with graduates of graduate schools of business, is focused on customer acquisition.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. Take a little side trip here just for about a minute. We talked about this before the show about universities teaching the next generation. What is it you're seeing relative to that?
Well, I now have made it my business to see what is being taught in many of these graduate schools of business. And, of course, I do have in my prior background, I have experience as an adjunct professor. And so what I've begun to do is I've begun to examine the course catalogs of graduate schools of business across the country. And the results are more stunning than I thought they might have been. So you'll find, for example, several courses in economics, several courses in accounting, several courses in marketing, et cetera, and rarely will you see one course, Jane, one course on service management. So the disconnect begins with education. So you have graduates coming off the graduate schools of the nation with little or no training.
Yes.
For the challenges of the 21st century.
And that's who we're faced with in the workplace every day, and they just don't get it. So what are the potential consequences when an organization doesn't focus on the customer? I mean, we talked about it briefly, about the monetary loss, but what else?
The organization that fails to focus on the customer, I think, then yields to an industrial age paradigm where efficiency or looking internally, where bottom line results are king, and then that the pressure then is so intense that you begin to cut corners or worse, and in my estimation, look, the subprime mortgage crisis, which triggered a financial firestorm worldwide, the monster $65 billion Bernie Madoff Ponzi scheme, the demise of Titans on Wall Street, the demise of Titans in Detroit, despite all of the tortuous explanations you read in the media, really come down to the collapse of an ethic of service. So Exalted Brands, Lehman Brothers, Bear Stearns, on and on and on, Countrywide mm-hmm. Financial, mm-hmm. They are no longer because they forgot their customers.
None of them are living their brand, and they have completely tainted and or destroyed their brand. And you see this again and again. I heard a speaker recently who his whole theme is, I have to get him on the radio show. I can't remember his name at the moment, but he teaches companies how to live your brand, and that's exactly what you started out saying. We all day long we see mission statements, vision statements, serve the customer, customer first, but they're not living it, and they are hypocritical in what they convey, and the workplace isn't going to serve the customer if the CEO doesn't get it. All crumbs lead to the top. And when senior management doesn't get it, and in your examples in all those companies, senior management blew it big time.
Yes, indeed.
So what approach would you recommend for a company to take in order to improve their service posture? And do me a favor, talk about this for the small, medium-sized business. I mean, everything from the dry cleaner all the way on up. I mean, it's a little bit different for each, so let's hear what your recommendations
yes.
are.
Well, there's good news here. Despite my observation, and I'm convinced that it is true that a service to the customer is in its most calamitous state that we have seen in decades. Despite that, the good news is that the leadership group that is committed to pointing the organization's compass in the direction of the customer can do so. And you begin to do so by conducting what I would suggest is a diagnostic, that is to say, an assessment, which takes the four critical success factors and puts those critical success factors to the test with the employee base. So if you're a small business, you can take your entire company in a conference room and ask the question, do you believe that ours is a customer-driven company? And then the respondents will say, I strongly agree or strongly disagree. So the upshot might be, to the chagrin of the CEO, that the employee base does not believe that they are customer-focused, and that then therefore some remediation is required. But I would urge the leadership group that is serious about turning the company around in this sense, that they think twice before they do it, because more harm and good might be done by initiating this assessment process and then letting it die on the vine. Once you get your employees in the room and you ask for them to give you their unfettered responses, et cetera, you better be prepared to follow through on them.
You know, Raul, I have to tell you, I can't help but smile as I listen to you, because we have a similar question we ask our companies. We say, what's your number one competitive advantage? And literally, on page 100 of my book, the number one most common response is customer service. And yet, when I have 20 people in the room and I say, what's your number one competitive advantage? In one company, I get 20 different answers. Or 30 people in the room, I get 30 different answers. So a handful of them, you know, one or two of them may say customer service, but somebody else is saying reputation, innovation, good people, knowledgeable. So there's not consistency there. And I just did one company, and when I said, how many of you said customer service, not one hand went up. I turned to the CEO. I said, you got a problem. Not one person here thinks customer service is your competitive advantage. But that's a reality, isn't it?
Janie, in the book, we cite cite the work of Jeffrey Abrahams. You may have read his
yes.
book, 101 Mission Statements. So I made it a point to go through the 101 mission statements, and I wanted to call out those mission statements where the commitment to the customer was made in the opening salvo of the mission statement. Out of the 101, I found 9.
Yeah.
I found 9. And just think about this, because Jeffrey Abrahams probably gave us the 101 best mission statements he could find.
Yeah, it's pretty scary, isn't it?
Very disappointing.
So can you give us an example or two of what might be revealed in the diagnostic you referred to a minute ago?
Yes, in the broadest or most fundamental sense, again, to the chagrin of the leadership group, the employee feedback might be, no, we're not a customer-focused company. And then that's going to require some very heavy lifting on the part of the leadership group to turn that around. And it's doable. But again, they must be committed to make something happen. But there are more tactical things that might emanate from the diagnostic, the assessment. So, for example, the employee feedback might be that, no, we don't have the access that we need to, say, sales practices or credit practices so that I can interact with a customer in an intelligent way. The upshot of that, of course, is that a customer in his mind believes that the service worker is inept or non-responsive.
Yes, and we do it another way. We ask, what are your competitive disadvantages? And I'm always astounded at how many customer service things come up in competitive disadvantages, to your point. There's a lot of them alive and well in there. So, Raul, this has just been fascinating. I love your work. It's right in line with what we talk about in trying to uncover competitive advantages. I'm going to ask you to give our listeners your website one more time as we begin to wrap up.
The website is Raul Pupo, RAULPUPO, one word, .com.
And I visited it a little while ago. I know there's some videos and some conversations there and some news blitz that they can read and learn more about this. But I want to encourage our listeners to please pick up the book, America's Service Meltdown. I'm sure it's on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
So those are some good places you can get it. And again, you know, if you're a small business or a leader in a large company, you need this book. You know, I just want to, we got to wrap up now. We're closing in on the end of the show, so I want to thank South Florida's listeners again. Please go to mindyourbiztoday.com. Give us your thoughts, reactions to any radio show we've had, and what you'd like to hear in the future. Also want to remind you to go to smartadvantage.com and take our assessment on whether or not you have competitive advantages, and I can guarantee you, you're going to see some overlap with what we've been talking about today, because there usually is not very good alignment. We want to thank our sponsor for joining us and being part of Mind Your Biz today, and the Hudson Institute of Executive Education at Nova University. We want to thank you for your participation, and guys, go to their website as well and see what they offer. So have a good weekend, South Florida, and we look forward to seeing you, hearing us, sorry, next Friday.
The Hudson Institute of Executive Education at Nova Southeastern University provides training in more than 30 areas of business, from communications fundamentals to advanced leadership. All courses are taught by instructors who have years of successful corporate experience. Investing in Hudson's executive education programs will provide your team with skills and tools that result in measurable returns. To customize your organization's training, visit nova.edu/execed.
You've been listening to Mind Your Biz Today with Janie Smith, CEO of Smart Advantage, best-selling author and business consultant extraordinaire. Tune in next Friday at 4:30 p.m. for another great program here on 880 The Biz.